This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Two prehistoric settlements are unearthed in central China. A 4,000-year-old settlement is unearthed in Bangladesh. Court result clears the way for the motorway near Tara in Ireland. And an excavation is planned for a Cumbrian valley in North England. We report on the past, present and future of the Tarxian temples in Malta. And ancient Cypriots fed olive oil to their furnaces for fuel. The famous Magdalenian girl is thought to have reached adulthood, and an ancient eruption eclipses the destruction of Pompeii. Chinese archaeologists have found two prehistoric settlements dating back to more than 4,000 years ago at the Pucheng-Dian ruins in central China's Henan province. The Pucheng-Dian site were designated as the first group of provincial-level cultural relic protection units of Henan in 1963. The site contains relics of the Neolithic Age and the Xi, Shang, Zhou and Han dynasties. The older city covers an area of more than 16,000 square metres, with the east, west and south walls still existing. A well-preserved pottery kiln was unearthed within the city site, which comprised a kiln chamber, fireplace, workshop and ash pit. The remains of houses, storage structures, graves with jar-shaped coffins and places for open-air activities were also discovered at the site. Archaeologists had discovered artefacts at a village in Narsingdi, Bangladesh, that may date to the Chalcolithic around 4,000 years ago, and believe the finds are the earliest signs of settlement in the region. The excavators from the Department of Archaeology at Jahangirnagar University traced a pit dwelling at Wari Batswar, some 70 kilometres from the capital. This is the first discovery of the Chalcolithic in the country. Artefacts of the pit-dwelling era in the Indian subcontinent have been found at locations including the Swat Valley in Pakistan, which is around 5,000 years old, and Inamagion in South India, which date back to around 3,000 years. The team found a water reservoir, a hearth, a storage pit, and some household items inside the pit-dwelling. The team in March 2004 also found a 20-metre stretch of road, which later tested to be some 2,450 years old. Examining the location and landscape, they now claim it to be part of a fortified town, which is a significant symbol of the urbanisation in the area. Professor Dilip K. Chakrabarty, an expert of South Asian archaeology and a teacher of Cambridge University, said the discovery of pit dwellings is historic, and on hearing about the measurement and description of the site, explained that it was definitely a pit dwelling. The way could be cleared for construction work to start this time next year on the controversial M3 motorway following the failure of an Irish High Court challenge to the road last week. Sources have suggested that if there is no appeal to last week's decision, that work is likely to begin in March 2007, allowing for archaeological excavations to be completed by the end of this year and site preparation work to get underway in the autumn. The National Roads Authority is this week meeting with its legal team to examine the judgment of High Court Justice Mr. Thomas Smythe, who last week dismissed the challenge by a campaigner, Vincent Salafia, against the route of the M3 motorway, through the area between the Hill of Tara and Skrine. Mr. Justice Smythe ruled that Mr. Salafia was not entitled to succeed in any of his claims because of an unjustified 2-year delay in bringing them. In a 60-page decision delivered over 2.5 hours last Wednesday, Mr. Justice Smythe considered all the arguments made by Mr. Salafia, including claims that the National Monuments Amendment Act of 2004 was unconstitutional, and then proceeded to reject them all. This week, the various bodies involved in the case were digesting the High Court report. A hearing to determine the costs will take place on Tuesday next, 14th of March, after which the court order will be executed. There is then a 21-day period during which he can appeal the decision to the Supreme Court. The High Court decision has been welcomed by Meath County Council and local groups that have campaigned in favour of the motorway, as well as the Minister for the Environment. The Meath Chambers fought a vigorous campaign to counter much misinformation circulated by those opposed to the M3 route. They said in a statement, "We need to go to extraordinary lengths to communicate the fact that the proposed route is 1.5 miles away from the centre of the Hill of Tara, and is significantly further away from the hill than the existing N3 route. Surveys undertaken on behalf of the Chambers and the MCM3 have consistently revealed 80-92% support for the M3 as proposed in the county. Local opinion on the M3 was further demonstrated by the massive support given to pro-M3 candidates during the recent by-election. Archaeological work as well as the acquisition of land on the M3 route has been ongoing throughout the High Court action and will continue with the archaeological digs due to finish on schedule in December. Archaeologists hope to unearth Bronze Age treasures after receiving a £50,000 grant to help fund a dig in a Cumbrian valley in England. The three-year project in the Duddon Valley in the southwest of the Lake District will be carried out by professional archaeologists. Much of the work will focus on the cairn at Seawit Tarn, a mound of landmark and burial stones. The project is costing around £133,000, supported by a £50,000 grant, and is being supported by the Lake District National Park Authority. Archaeologists will be helped by university students, volunteers and members of the Duddon Valley History Group. Park Authority senior archaeologist John Hodgson said, "The valley is a quiet and scenic part of the Lake District National Park. However, its quiet character masks a very long history of occupation. A wealth of physical remains exists from this long period, much of which has not been recorded." Unlike the other extensive prehistoric sites in Malta, such as Gargantia, Manjara and the Hagar Kim temples, Tarxian temples do not have a monumental bearing on their surrounding landscape. On the contrary, they have been rather dwarfed by the urban development, which has, over time, encroached within metres from the site. The site was discovered in 1913 when local farmers informed Sir Themistocles Zammit, Malta's first director of museums, that they struck large blocks of stone while ploughing their field. This led to the discovery of two large stone blocks and a quantity of pottery sherds. Consequently, Sir Timmy Zammit excavated the site between 1915 and 1919, bringing to light an extensive megalithic site and putting our understanding of Maltese prehistory on a solid foundation. Excavation started by exposing the south temple of the Tarxian complex, excavating the cremation cemetery inserted into the ruins in the early Bronze Age, then continuing successively with the central, east and early temples. This site consists of four principal megalithic structures. The small temple at the eastern end of the site was the first to be built, sometime between 3600 and 3200 BCE. The south and east temples were then built 3000 to 2500 BCE, while the six apse central temple was the last to be constructed. The south temple is renowned for its highly finished carvings, which include domestic animals carved in relief and various other spiral designs. A striking feature within this building is the remains of a colossal statue. The site seems to have been used extensively for rituals. Animal bones and a flint blade were found within a decorated altar in the south temple, suggesting that animal sacrifice formed part of these activities that took place within the building during the temple period. At the end of the temple culture, the site was put to a different use, becoming the site of a cremation cemetery during the Bronze Age. The Tarxian temples have recently been the focus of extensive conservation studies and preparations for the improved visitor facilities through an agreement between the Bank of Valletta and Heritage Malta. The project, launched in September 2003, envisages the application of the latest technology for the preservation of this unique prehistoric site, as well as the construction of a visitor centre that will enable visitors to understand, enjoy and appreciate the value of this monument. Environmental monitoring equipment has been installed within the number of chambers, as well as in an immediate vicinity of the monument. Its data will be analysed by Heritage Malta's conservation specialists, allowing them to understand better the site's deterioration and the measures necessary for its preservation. The visitor centre will include an exhibition area, audio-visual facilities, shop, cafeteria and activity centre. Most importantly, the centre aims to be educational as well as fun, preparing visitors for an informative as well as enjoyable experience of the Tarxian temples. Italian researchers have discovered that environmentally friendly olive oil was used in furnaces at a site in southern Cyprus up to 4,000 years ago, instead of the fume-belching charcoal used in industry for hundreds of years since. Described as liquid gold by the ancient Greek poet Homer, olive oil has long been associated with grooming, pampering, and the religious rites of the ancients, but not, at least in the Mediterranean, with heavy industry. It is the first time we have laboratory evidence that it was used in smelting as a fuel, said archaeologist Maria Rosaria Belgiorno. Cyprus was famed in antiquity for its copper, and it is believed to have given its name to the Latin term for the metal, cuprum. The smelting site, known as Pyrgos Mavrogracchi, is thought to be part of a larger industrial unit dating from 2000 BCE, when Cyprus was in its Middle Bronze Age. Lying some 90 kilometres southwest of the capital Nicosia, among sprawling villas, the complex includes copper smelting works, facilities for textile weaving and dyeing, a winery and an olive press. The olive press and storage facilities were in the middle of the two areas where copper was worked, and it shows that they were using olive oil for sure. Tests carried out by the Italian Institute of Technologies applied to cultural heritage, for whom Belgiorno works, have discovered olive oil residues in ovens on the site. Belgiorno said researchers were puzzled by the fact that no charcoal, the fuel most widely used at the time, was found. Charcoal remains intact despite the passage of time, she said. There were no storage areas for charcoal. We have, however, discovered that to melt copper, you need 5 kilos of olive oil, compared to 80 kilos of charcoal. Metallurgy sites have been found close to olive oil production areas in Egypt and Jordan, so Cypriots could not lay claim to being the first to use biofuels. It was, however, the first time science has conclusively proven that olive oil was used as a fuel. The technology came from abroad, most probably through contact with Palestine and Jordan. Last year, at the same site, Belgiorno's team found what they described as the world's first perfumery, which used olive oil infused with local herbs. The site's textile dyeing facilities also suggest Cypriots had a fashionable flair with their fabrics, using dye painstakingly extracted from Mediterranean sea snails to colour their clothes indigo. For years, the skeleton of the Magdalenian girl, an early modern human dating from 13 to 15,000 years ago, and housed at the Field Museum in Chicago since 1926, were thought to be that of a girl because her wisdom teeth had not yet erupted, something that typically should happen between the ages of 18 and 22. But new analysis provided evidence that she was in fact a 25 to 35-year-old woman at the time of death, and the Magdalenian girl's impacted wisdom teeth, which had failed to emerge at the normal time, provided new clues about the dietary changes of humans. Because the coarse diet of early humans required a lot of chewing, there was more growth stimulation of the jawbone and more room for wisdom teeth to emerge. But when they started cooking their food and making it softer, the wisdom teeth had more trouble surfacing. Finding impacted wisdom teeth 15,000 years ago indicates that the human diet might have already changed, or deteriorated as some might say, earlier than previously thought. The Magdalenian girl was discovered in 1911 in southwestern France at Cape Blanc rock shelter, and is considered the most complete Upper Paleolithic skeleton held in North America. Magdalenian girl has once again proven the value of museum collections, which often contain unexpected secrets that are only revealed as new methods and techniques emerge. The famous skeleton can be found on display as part of Evolving Planet, the museum's permanent exhibit of life of Earth, starting on March the 10th. The preserved footprints and abandoned homes of villagers who fled a giant eruption on Mount Vesuvius 3,800 years ago show the volcano could destroy modern-day Naples with very little warning, Italian and US researchers reported. The event, called the Avellino catastrophe, destroyed the area of present-day Naples, making Bronze Age farmers flee for their lives and burying entire villages as far as 25 kilometres from the volcano, cooking people as they try to escape and dumping several metres of ash and mud. New excavations show far more extensive damage than that found at the more famous site of Pompeii, which was buried in 79 CE. It could happen again, affecting metropolitan Naples, where 3 million people live, and officials are not planning properly for it, the researchers write in the latest issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Evidence shows that a sudden, en masse evacuation of thousands of people occurred at the beginning of the eruption. They even left their animals in cages. Scenes of everyday life, frozen by volcanic deposits, testify that people suddenly left the village. There are the moulds of 4 huts, with pottery and other objects left inside. Skeletons of a dog and 9 pregnant goats were found within a cage, and footprints of adults, children and cows, filled by the first fallout of pumice, were also found. They probably had a couple of days to get out, and there are lots of skeletons, but also thousands and thousands of footprints. The footprints would have been left as survivors ran through the mud deposited by the explosion. Ash filled them, preserving them for archaeologists to find. The site at Pompeii is famous for the vignettes of everyday life preserved in the ash. Several sites dug up in farmland and pumice quarries in the surrounding area show similar preservation of the much older Bronze Age civilization. In its first phase, that eruption, which occurred in the early Bronze Age, produced an enormous column of gas and ash which would have reached 36 kilometres into the stratosphere. To the east of the volcano, rocks hailed down from the sky, hammering an area that covered thousands of square kilometres. In the last stages of the eruption, the collapsing gas column produced huge burning clouds full of ash, hundreds of degrees hot, which first moved at speeds of at least 300 kilometres an hour. The eruption had devastating effects on an area that stretched up to 15 kilometres from the volcano, and all of the sites examined in the study reveal signs of a population having taken hasty flight. The only bodies with substantial remains left were of a man and a woman found buried under ash in a spot some 17 kilometres from the volcano. Many others died when the ash in the air became so thick that it entered their lungs and suffocated them. The scientists believe that most of the 10,000 or so inhabitants of the area probably survived the eruption. Indeed, they found thousands of footprints made in the ash, all leading away from the volcano. Archaeological evidence indicates that some people returned and tried to set up settlements again, but it was a vain attempt, as the deposit of millions of cubic metres of ash with small pumice fragments made the area uninhabitable for hundreds of years. Vesuvius is the only active volcano on the European mainland and erupts dramatically in cycles. According to Sheridan, who was conducting the survey, while there may not be a high probability that events such as the Avellino eruption or the Pompeii eruption will occur in the near future, Italian authorities must consider the possibility. There was a Bronze Age eruption about 4,000 years ago, and then 2,000 years ago, in the 79 AD event, there was another one, and it seems that just about every 2,000 years there's a major eruption at Vesuvius. And on that sobering note, can I once again remind you that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can also be found at Stonepages. That's news.stonepages.com. Many thanks for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we hope you'll return again next week.